Roger Waldron is the Coalition for Government Procurement's president, and sitting down with FAST Commissioner Tom Sharp pretty soon, Roger. You're going to talk to him about an issue that you're writing about on the CGP's blog. Tell me what you're going to sit down with Tom and talk about and what kind of input you want to take into that meeting.
Well, Francis, thanks for having me on the show again. I appreciate it. Well, Tom has... you know, reached out to us and to industry with regard to the Federal Acquisition Service is seeking to have contractors report UPC codes and also manufacturer part numbers as part of their schedule contracts. And that's a sort of significant change to the GSA schedules. And for some industries, it may make sense. Business sense for other industries, the part number variations and the variations in products and models and whatnot make it very problematic to report all that data. And it's not basically the way they're organized. And, you know, I think this is an effort to try to get additional information about pricing and that sort of thing. And we've heard significant concerns from scheduled contractors about what the cost of it. And, you know, as part of that, Tom reached out to us to get our input and thoughts in regard to this new data reporting requirement, and has agreed to meet with our members to discuss and hear feedback on what the implications are for business operations, what the cost associated with it, and also get, you know, for our member companies to get a sense of what the goals of this new data reporting requirement are, what they're trying to accomplish, and, you know, perhaps there's ways to accomplish, you know, some mutually agreeable sort of goals that make sense for everybody, and, you know, maybe there's alternatives to this approach, or maybe not. We'll see. But it's part of an ongoing dialogue, and, you know, we look forward to hosting Tom, meeting with our members on this.
What is your sense of what GSA and the government hope to gain by having these UPCs and MPNs submitted?
Well, I think it's part, you know, there's lots of moving parts here. There's this effort by OMB to get prices paid data. There's a lot of conversations you hear publicly about price variation on the GSA schedules. Of course, there's price variation on all kinds of multiple order FAQs across government anywhere, everywhere, not just the GSA schedules. So now they have this effort with regard to, you know, reporting use, you know, including UPC codes and manufacturer part numbers, MPNs. I think it's all about, you know, addressing and getting information about what the prices are being paid by the government and being able to do better comparisons across, for example, the GSA schedules about the prices for various products. And that's, you know, I guess understandable, and it's sort of a policy perspective, but at the same time, these are all additional reporting requirements that are being laid on contractors, and there's no commensurate, you know, reduction in any kind of reporting requirements or, you know, compliance requirements that already exist. So it's just additional layers. At the same time, the government continues to focus on, oh, we need lower pricing. We're doing strategic sourcing, which is really about driving prices down, you know, language around that we've described it as supplier suppression. So it's this increase in requirements. At the same time, they're asking for, you know, actually lower prices from contractors, and there's going to be a breaking point there, and I think it's important to have these conversations about what the goals are, because I think we're talking about some fundamental policy changes with regard to the GSA schedules program to really accomplish what they're trying to achieve.
You said that this is a significant change, and there may be some places where this makes sense and might not be. Can you give me maybe an example or two of each, places where it would make sense to have, for the government to have the UPCs and the part numbers, and where it might either be so difficult to collect them that it would not make sense to do so, or that even once you had them, it wouldn't really make much difference as far as decision-making or altering prices or anything like that?
Well, you know, I'm going to cop out on the first half and say, you know, I haven't heard from any member companies who have indicated it makes sense in their particular industry. But I can tell you that we've heard from companies who tell us that there are significant challenges in their industries. Furniture industry, for example, And literally the, you know, millions upon millions of variations in furniture, office, you know, commercial office furniture that you see every day, and how, you know, whether it's colors, you know, models, configurations, they don't sort of use that UPC code or MPN, from that perspective. And in terms of how much has to be reported, you're talking about potentially tens of millions of various model numbers from one individual furniture company, for example. Does that make sense? And does that allow for the kind of comparison that the government's looking for? You know, there is, you know, variability there in that industry in particular. And also I've heard from IT companies that, you know, that this really doesn't work for them in the way they go to market, and, you know, and in terms of doing the comparisons and all the variations in, you know, in a laptop or a desktop or other configurations of information technology make it problematic. And just as a more general sense, what does it mean for the companies to have to collect all this information? If you are in some industries, you have two or three, distributors in between the manufacturer, if you're trying to get a manufacturer part number, at the same time, the dealer who's actually on the scheduled contract has to go through one distributor or a couple of the distributors. They don't have direct privity of a contract. Those distributors often assign their own part numbers or own UPC codes in some industries. So it gets very, very confusing, potentially for the customer, actually, is what they're trying to compare or not compare.
Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, writing about the notice about the UPCs and manufacturer part numbers from GSA at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You can find a link to that on the Coalition for Government Procurement's blog. Roger, you're also writing in the Fed Times about something that sounds very noble on the surface. The purpose of this is to improve, this is a quote, improve the way GSA offers cloud computing services through IT Schedule 70, increase visibility and access of cloud computing services to customer agencies, and to provide industry partners the opportunity to differentiate their cloud computing services from other IT-related products and services. That sounds very noble on the surface. What's the story behind that that you're writing about, Roger?
I'm writing about, you know, a fundamental aspect of the current scheduled contracts that, you know, will actually hinder the ability of GSA and FAS to accomplish those noble goals and achievements that they're trying, that you just described or just read from the blog, and actually come from their request for information that they issued to get seeking feedback on creating a cloud computing SIN on the GSA schedule 70 for information technology. And that is the price reduction clause. The price reduction clause is a pricing mechanism in the contracts that requires a schedule contractor to, you know, track certain customers, commercial customers, and if those customers receive a lower price for a product that's on the GSA schedule, that lower price has to be passed on to the government in the form of price reductions on their contract. Hence the price reduction clause, the title of the clause. Well, what has happened is that, you know, as services have become more complex, as you see convergence of IT and services like in the cloud space, you know, each solution is unique. And the pricing is unique. The pricing depends on the specific requirements, the organization of the entity that you're going to provide cloud computing services to, the number of, you know, users of that cloud, the already pre-existing IT infrastructure. There's all kinds of factors that go into the pricing. There may be some core pricing that's similar, but there's always a tailored solution. And it makes no sense to try to have a tracking mechanism that's really for widgets, where, you know, if you lower price of an office supply, theoretically, you know, you can track that and figure out it. They're exactly the same. You know, a post-it note is a post-it note. But for complex IT solutions like this, trying to have a tracking customer for specific requirements, it restricts innovation. Companies cannot track that or find or have difficulty in making distinctions between the different projects. And it basically weighs down on that innovation, the opportunity to provide cloud services on the contract. It's a compliance hurdle that makes it more difficult to offer the latest technologies. And there's many scheduled contractors who will tell you that they will not put on their latest technology or their latest solutions, their most current ones, because they can't track the pricing for price reduction clause compliance. So, you know, the purpose of the blog is to say, hey, if you really want to accelerate innovation, which OMB talks about all the time, which GSA is assisting OMB in trying to promote, you know, you need to eliminate this, you know, artificial pricing mechanism that restricts competition in the private sector and restricts innovation, access to innovation in the government.
You write pretty clearly in this piece, Roger, the time is right for GSA to reform the multiple award schedule pricing policies and eliminate the price reduction clause to reflect the 21st century marketplace. Such an approach will be a win for customer agencies, the American people, and contractors. What would that reform to the mass pricing policies look like to you?
It would be, we've done a white paper on it. It's on the coalition website. We did it sort of at the request of GSA. There was an ongoing, you know, sort of open discussions at some of our conferences about the challenges of the pricing policy, and we took the challenge and put together a vision for it. And first and foremost, you know, the price reduction clause is really, you know, irrelevant to the current schedule model. Nobody wants to acknowledge this, and but it's the, I mean, what is it, dirty little secret of the GSA schedules, or not so secret, actually. You know, there are statutory mandates for competition at the task order level for all orders over $150,000, or the simplified acquisition threshold. So what drives pricing, especially for customer-specific solutions under the schedules program, is that task order competition. GSA has built the whole infrastructure to emphasize the task order competition. You know, they have their electronic quote tool, eBuy, where people can post their statements of work and get competition from all schedule contractors. You know, their Schedules E library provides information on all the pricing and terms and conditions on GSA schedules contract. They have all kinds of training on how to compete orders. The whole focus of the program is about competition at the task order level. At the same time, the price reduction clause basically tries to tie the pricing to commercial transactions that are not even relevant, frankly, from a basic terms and conditions perspective, to the federal government transactions. You know, the commercial transactions don't have to deal with the trade agreement set clause, for example. So it's become a completely sort of alien process that actually costs a lot of money to comply with. We've done studies on the compliance cost associated with the price reduction clause, and, you know, from our perspective and what we hear from members, it far outweighs collectively any benefit of the clause in terms of, you know, reduced prices or, you know, settlements for violations of the clause. So we would eliminate the price reduction clause, rely on task order competition that's already mandated by statute. You'd update the pricing policies, have a more dynamic model for submission of pricing information, and you'd emphasize and actually make investments in the electronic tools to enhance further competition. I guess that's the best way I could describe it, and we do have a white paper that lays it all out.